This is David Meltzer with the Playbook. I'm at the Masters for over 30 years. And who would have ever thought the highlight of my Masters would start on Wednesday morning? It's become a tradition like none other, which is to interview David Abeles, the CEO of TaylorMade Golf. He is not only one of the greatest sports executives, legendary now, but he's also a dear friend. He's just one of the kindest and best human beings to surround yourself with. So beyond the company, beyond the business, we have the person here on the playbook, David Abeles. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks to be back. That's a wrap. If you can open up like that, I'm good. I don't know what legend means, but that's awfully
It means
nice.
we're getting
Thanks.
old.
It means I'm getting old.
Right.
Exactly. It's interesting. A few months ago, I was very humbled. I was honored. I was issued the Lifetime Achievement Award for the San Diego Business Journal.
Yes.
And when the team called me and said, "Hey, we would like to honor you and give the keynote speech at the San Diego Business Journal when they honor CEOs across the region with this Lifetime Business Award," I said, "Hey, that's great, but that's usually for guys that are either retired or close to the end of it." I said, "I'm
Right.
not there yet, but thank you, but thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thrilled to have you on our TaylorMade Tour truck. We've done this a few times, and to be around you is inspiring, David. So thank you."
We appreciate you and all that you've done to pour into our community. We were talking about legends and lifetime achievement awards, which means that we've actually been through some struggles and learned some life lessons. I call it dummy tax. And when we become CEOs of significant organizations, we have a certain perspective of what that leadership role is going to look like. And then life happens, and there's a whole bunch of things. Today, we were just talking about tariffs. We don't need to get into them, but who would have ever imagined when you became a CEO that this would be a major critical business issue as a leader? Because whether or not it is a significant impact on any business, your crew is watching TikTok and Instagram and the
Yeah,
news,
sure.
and they're depending on you for support. And it's a role that when I took over, I never imagined it wasn't just about the business decision. It was about mirroring a perception to make sure that our team is seeing the promotion and protection in any critical business issue. Where have you changed as a leader to handle these, God laughing at us, I call it, or life circumstances that we didn't realize when we first became CEOs?
Yeah, thanks. It's an amazing progression, right? To develop as a human being, as a person, as a professional, and importantly, as a leader, right? And I truly believe this. I don't think anybody walks into their first CEO job and all of a sudden is an exceptional CEO. And I believe in this notion of time and tenure, right? How much time you have to do something and how much tenure you've had if you're doing it. I'm an avid learner. And one of the things that was instilled upon me when I started my professional career is if you're constantly willing to learn, and if you're constantly willing to go find answers to challenges or opportunities that may present you, you have the best chance of succeeding. And so I'll give you an example. An old boss of mine used to say, "Hey, David, it's not important for you as the CEO and the leader to have all the answers, but what's more important is that you know where to go to find them." And so there's certain just small things that become big things in the order of magnitude of your development as a leader that are important to me. So certainly how you lead, your attitude. I mean, that you can affect every day, right? You're going to inevitably deal with challenging times, great opportunities, terrific wins, and even some challenges that lead to failures. How do you want to react and interact and deal with that both internally and externally with your teams? How do you want your teams to engage and embrace those learnings for the benefit of their own development? And then ultimately, how do you want to show up every day? Your work ethic, right? I mean, I believe the one variable that anybody in the world, regardless of their talent or skill set, can affect is how hard they choose to work. We talk about that with great length and depth at TaylorMade, which is there's different skill levels in our organization, different levels of passion and talent and capability. But the one thing that everybody's relentless about is their willingness to put the time in and do the work. And if you're not, it's not the right environment for you at TaylorMade. And so your work ethic as a leader, as a CEO, sets the tone for the organization. Old boss of mine, different boss, here's the learnings, applied learnings, used to say to me, "Hey, if you're still the first one in the office and the last one to leave every day as the CEO of your company, you're doing something right." And it's strange. I walk out, I leave the office at 7 o'clock at night, and I'm not doing this purposeful. I don't expect my employees to work before me or after me. I expect them to work hard when we're together and invest their time and energy in their own development to do their job better and better every day and contribute every day. But there isn't a day that goes by that I don't leave our offices in Carlsbad at 7 o'clock, that I don't call home and talk to my 96-year-old dad who's on the East Coast. So it's 10 o'clock his time. And he says to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm leaving the office. He says, late day for you. I said, not normal day for me.
Right on.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you learn over time and you develop as a leader. And to me, you have to have the courage to not only embrace leadership, embrace your own development, and self-awareness, as you know, David, you and I have talked about this at length, is central to your success in everything. And so, you know, fortunately, I've done a lot of work in my own right and continue to do with coaches, with colleagues, even members of my executive team. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't say to a member of our team, hey, did I handle that correctly?
Smart.
How did you feel about the way I responded to your question or question that came up in an executive staff meeting or a strategic question that came up relative to our industry, our economy? Do you think we and I navigated through that effectively so that we can perpetuate the decisions we made in a very constructive way through the organization, through the industry, to lead us to a better place as a company? So it's every day. You're constantly working to improve every day. You will never perfect it, right? Vince Lombardi, you strive for perfection and you accept greatness, right? I'm constantly striving to perfect my craft. I know I'll never get there, but that doesn't mean I keep working to get better. And that's what I do.
One of my favorite sayings lately is things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it leads to one of my favorite quotes, which is you're either humble or you're about to be, which is aligned with that philosophy. Inside of that, I've recently become the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, which is a major impact Napoleon Hill on my life. Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, the 17 Principles of Success.
Right.
One of the things that he said as I'm studying it more and more is that definiteness of purpose exceeds a well-developed plan. That you could actually have a bad plan, but have definiteness of purpose with this consistent, persistent attitude that you have, being first one in and last one to leave, doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun. Have you seen in your career where you've come up with a bad plan, but your definiteness of purpose had turned that bad plan into some promotion or a great opportunity?
Happens all the time, every day, especially if you're a true innovator, if you truly believe that you can find new pathways to define new markets, new consumers, new ways to grow your business, new ways to grow your people. It happens all the time. Whether it's called defined purpose or definite a purpose, or what we call true north in our organization, right? If there's an initiative or an opportunity that presents itself, a traditional manager will come into an office to somebody like you or me and say, hey, I think there's a real opportunity to do this. Okay, how do you want to approach it? Well, I have a strategy to approach that. Wonderful. And then how are you going to organize around it? Well, then I'm going to build the structure, right? Strategy before structure. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't start with a dream and a commitment and a dedication to that purpose, definite a purpose or true north, like what does this look like to you? Not today or tomorrow, but a year, 2, 3 years, or 10 years from now. What do you want it to become? What do you want it to develop into? How inspiring is that? Who's your audience? Who's your consumer? Who's your customer? And so we unpack this definite of purpose, like TaylorMade's a perfect example. If you were to ask any one of our 2,400 employees, including our team right here at Augusta National on this tour truck right now, what's the mission and purpose of the company? Everybody would be able to recite that with unconditional clarity. To be the best performance golf brand in the world, period. There's no expiration on that mission. You can break down those words. You understand how big they are and how meaningful they are. And they apply to everything we do. Why do we exist? Simply, to help golfers of all skill levels play the game better. So everything we do in our organization has to ladder up to that mission and purpose, or we don't do it. But within that, we create like heck, constantly creating new ideas. And within that, there's new ideation that comes up through our product creation teams, our ideation teams, our marketing teams, our sales teams, commercial teams, operational teams. We ideate across the organization. I had an idea that came up yesterday from our HR group about the advanced development of our people and integration with new university curriculum to bring into the organization. We decided to do it. So the definition of purpose of that is we have a dream to enhance the performance of our people, to be the best performance golf brand in the world, which means you have to have the best performing golf people in the world, or even the best performing people in the world. So how are we going to do that? Well, we've got this idea. We're going to collab with Stanford, and this is what the curriculum looks like, and we're going to build this concept called leaderboard. Leaderboard. Yeah, tell me more about that. Here's our leadership development protocols for emerging executives in our organization. All right, unpack that for me further. And we walk right through what you and I just talked about. What's the mission? What's the purpose of it? What's the strategy? You know, how are we going to execute this? And inevitably, and take this as gospel because I've lived through this. Inevitably, you're never going to get it all right. You're going to find roadblocks. You're going to find challenges. Some will respond the way you wanted them to an initiative. Some won't respond to it. Sometimes you'll get traction sooner. Other times you'll get traction later. But what we never do is give up on a good idea. We are relentless in the pursuit of great ideas. And when we believe in them, that's our defined purpose. That's our true north. And when we lock in, we will barrel through whatever is required and do the work, back to the work ethic, to ensure we succeed.
I'll be posting that. Never give up on a good idea.
Yeah.
Innovation is what TaylorMade's known for. They're one of the greatest research and development companies in the world. Intellectual property, utilizing it with physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics. The amount of advancement that I've seen growing up in San Diego when this company first emerged to today is extraordinary. You have a few great innovations that are proving themselves out in the definite purpose, but also different periods of evolution. Just recently, I believe it's called the Spider XT. Is that correct?
Yeah, Spider ZT.
ZT, sorry. Yeah. Yep. It's so new.
No, it's good. It's brand
Spider
new.
ZT.
It's not even commercial yet.
Right.
It's a prototype on tour.
So take me through maybe two or three of the innovations that exist today and how they're applying themselves to the new face of golf, because it's a different type of game today.
Yeah. You know, when I think about some of the technical innovations at TaylorMade, you know, over 45 years, we've been working to find advanced technologies that lead to better performance that ladder up to that mission and strategy for 45 years now. Now, we've evolved over time and we have different technical capabilities certainly today than we did back in 1979 when the company was founded. But the spirit of finding a new idea is probably stronger today than it's ever been. And in 2025, there's three products right now. And I don't mean to sound pitchy about this, but I'm incredibly proud of like these advanced technologies because having sold and marketing golf clubs for as long as I have, coming up on three decades now, every once in a while you get one concept, one technology that really transforms the way golfers look at the category. And we started with that in 1979 with the metal wood, right? That was the first innovation that got TaylorMade moving forward as a real business and a real innovator in our space. This year, there's three of them. And they're in different categories, which is very unique, right? Typically, you have one in a given category and, you know, you ride that pretty hard and the balance of your portfolio is working well, but there's something exceptional. The first one is our new QI35 driver. We have taken thermally compressed carbon. And
first of all, I want to thank you because that's what my son plays.
Yeah, oh, great.
And he only drives me 150 yards or so.
Yeah. Well,
we're not even playing older, the same game anymore.
The older we get, the more that happens with our kids.
I'm going to be back to the kingdom, by the way. I'm switching my drivers after watching him.
So if I told you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we've known each other for a long time, that in 2025, David, we're going to launch the first ever launch monitor enabled technology in drivers, what would you have said? You would say, I don't even know what that means.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? QI35.
Well, I would first say, is that legal?
Yeah, it is. And it's only legal because of the innovations that we created with the stealth face technology 4 years ago.
Oh,
so if you go to a golf shop on or off course and work through a certified fitter for TaylorMade, you will get a component in QI35, a head component that has six reflectors in the face. They're called fiducials. Those fiducials interact with a launch monitor to give you face data. Most launch monitors give you ball data.
Yes.
Now you can have face dynamic and performance, ball dynamic and performance, and you put those together, and we're going to find you 5, 10, or 15 yards because we're going to be able to optimize the performance of that product given the data that we're pulling from launch technology.
I think being straight is more important than the yards.
Both. Yeah, both. So, I mean, to
and
sit
it gives
here,
you that data.
To sit here
it
in
gives
front
you
of
that
you,
data.
Yeah, sit here in front of you, and you know that the world's best players across the street on Washington Road have gone through a fitting with the first launch monitor-enabled driver, and it's become, out of the gates in the first quarter of 2025, unconditionally the number one selling driver around the world because consumers are living, which I should say it this way, TaylorMade is living up to its mission and its purpose. We are providing a product that's enhancing you and your game to enable you to play better. So that's been exceptional for us. It's super exciting, and we think over time we'll expand that even further. The second innovation continues to be our TP5 and 5X golf balls. I mean, we're the fastest growing major OEM in golf balls right now, OEM, original equipment manufacturer, because we have the best golf ball in the world. And it's easy for me to say that. What's hard for us is to have every consumer in every corner of the world of golf, all 60 million of them, to just go try it. So our job is to say, hey, we've built something great. Go try it if you really aspire to play better. And that's what's happening with TP5 and 5X. But last week, we had another breakthrough down in Texas, which was great. Brian Harman, who is, you know, a great friend, a wonderful player, has played some TaylorMade products throughout his career, just an incredible human being. He put a prototype putter in play called the Spider ZT. Spider is the most highly technical, high inertia mallet technology in the world, has been the number one selling mallet putter in golf for the past decades, played by Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda, two world number ones, Rory McIlroy, world number two. Brian Harman, who's not even on the TaylorMade staff, put this putter in play last week. So ZT stands for zero torque. So the construction of this putter is incredible, where the shaft technology goes into right into the center of gravity of the putter. And so the putter actually rotates around the center of mav, creating the highest inertia, most stable putter we've ever made. It's amazing. The face is onset, which enables us to get the ball rolling and sure, it has pure roll in it. And he went out, worked with our tour reps literally earlier in the week, hit a couple of putts, loved the feel, and won with it the first week out. The first week out. And so we come here to Augusta and we'll come to all subsequent tour events over the course of the year. This putter has taken on a life of its own. We've got tour players all over the world saying, send me the proto, send me the proto. Yeah. I've got to try the proto. So, you know, we're very fortunate. But these ideas, they didn't start yesterday. You know, these ideas started 3, 4, and 5 years ago. Where how can we make a better driver and how can we make a better golf ball and how can we get pure roll to work even better on a zero torque putter that's more stable than anything we've ever built, that doesn't compromise feel or roll or the performance qualities that great players or even average players need in putting. So to be able to do all of that has been really special. And what I'm most inspired about is we're planned out for the next 5 years. We're just getting started. We're literally just getting started. So, you know, our defined purpose, our true north, is to continue to bring great technology and better performance to golfers.
And in order to find that defined north, in order to have a definite purpose in what we do, to enjoy what we don't like or don't love, to enjoy what other people don't like or love, to have the patience and persistence to allow things to happen slowly, then all of a sudden to win its first event and other technologies
And
throughout
that's
the decade.
hard, isn't it, right? For
Hardest.
entrepreneurs, for leaders, because you're so driven internally. That's one of the leadership lessons I've learned. You know, if you say, hey, you talk to yourself 20 years ago, everyone's going to say, well, I would have slowed down. I don't want to slow anything down. I really don't. I want to be as aggressive and tenacious and forward-thinking and market-centric as I could possibly be. But as a leader, you have to recognize that your pace has to lead the pace of others as well, right? To your point
Such a
about
good point.
understanding that how you lead is essentially evaluated by those you lead. It's not by you, it's by those you lead. And so you have to understand how to interact in such a way that enables others to be at their best as well, right? The true definition of leadership, inspiring others to do great work.
Which is our mission, which is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy by empowering others to empower others. Leaders like you align with our mission. We teach people how to make a lot of money so they can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. That's what TaylorMade Golf is aligned with for us. We hope future success financially so you can continue to help so many people in the world, especially having fun, because we know golf is such a huge passion for everybody today around the world. And it takes leaders like you to provide us the best products, services, and solutions in order to have more fun to understand and get better at the game.
But I appreciate that very much. Thank you. And equally, you inspire me and others, David, because you are unconditionally, and your organization is unconditionally true to your mission. You always have. You live it every day. You don't talk about it. You live it. You model it. You lead through it. And it came to my attention that if you chat GPT, some of the most influential philanthropic leaders and entrepreneurs in the world, that top 20 list, you're on that list.
Thank you. Yeah,
And you deserve every part of that. And it's been an honor, and hopefully we'll continue to have more interactions to be part of what you're doing and part of your shows. It means the world to me. And I'm grateful that you and the team show up at TaylorMade and show up certainly on our tour truck and are willing to spend a little time with us.
It's like a tradition, like none other, having our Wednesday morning interview with the CEO of TaylorMade, David Abeles, This is David Meltzer once again with The Playbook.